Thanks, Rob. That's right. We are in the middle of a radiothon. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Today's radiothon is kicking off a citywide campaign for One Summer Chicago 27, which is being conducted by with 47 Chicagoland radio stations, the McCormick Foundation, the City of Chicago. And we're going to talk about jobs. You've heard all the stories today from all the different WGN personalities about their first job, their summer job. We'll hear from Pete Zimmerman about what his summer job was coming up here as well. But we thought tonight that we would talk a little bit more about employment, unemployment, and what the issues are when it pertains to youth, but also to other communities when it comes to getting a job. New employment data out this week shows that at 12.7%, Illinois leads the nation in black unemployment. This is not startling in that Illinois and Chicago have had high rates of unemployment in the black community for years. But what's startling is that some of the data points to an issue of access, as more and more qualified African Americans are out of work. Why? Well, from time to time here on the download, we try to get at solutions or at least get a better understanding of some of the issues that are affecting our communities. And tonight we talk about what's stopping qualified workers from getting jobs, the access gap, and finding new ways to network. Joining me in studio, Marie Trupek-Lynch. She's the president and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. Marie, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk about this. It's so interesting because you'll see a number like this pop up, and automatically you're like, well, that's just, I mean, it's a terrible number to see at 12.7%, and especially when the overall unemployment number is much lower. Mm-hmm. When you see a number like this, automatically you think that, you know, it represents poverty, poor, unskilled or underskilled labor force. But in some cases, that's just not the case.
Yeah. So, you know, the national unemployment rate's under 5%. So that gives you a sense of how significant it is for the African-American community. And I've certainly been tracking this for a while, so I'm not surprised because I've been watching these numbers. And in our South and West neighborhoods in Chicago, African-Americans and actually youth are hit by double-digit unemployment. So while a lot of people feel like, gosh, you know, the recession's done, my life's better, there's a lot of folks that it's not.
Right, right.
You know, why is that? You know, a good part of that is, I mean, there's some structural reasons. You know, manufacturing jobs have left those neighborhoods. Retail jobs have actually left those neighborhoods. So there's just, you know, the actual quantity of jobs in those neighborhoods. But there's also, you know, a real fundamental piece, the access gap. What is that? Well, if you think about, if you were to talk to folks and ask them about their jobs, where do they usually get their second job? It's usually from somebody they know. Not from going online, mm-hmm. not from blindly applying. And so right. If you think about our neighborhoods and if you're living next to somebody who doesn't have that ability to get your resume to the top, you're at a disadvantage. 75-80% of the people are actually getting their jobs from a network for somebody putting their resume at the top. But the reality is 85% of people are spending their time online.
See, that's an amazing stat. And that's a part of when you talk about the unemployment numbers, especially the numbers we're talking about tonight, rarely gets talked about, that it's not necessarily an issue of people being underemployed. Really, it's about people who are qualified. They just don't have access because right. They don't have the network. They're not a part of a group that is employed. There's a lot that's standing away for them to get jobs. They have the skills. They just can't get there.
Right. And, you know, we find companies are willing to train. Companies are, you know, looking for, you know, I mean, they're looking for people. They're looking for hardworking people. People are flexible and team players. But they also have trouble finding folks. And a lot of times we'll find through our work, a lot of times last year we put 1,120 people back to work. And it was interesting because there was a good percentage of those who actually had applied online to the same companies but couldn't even get a resume, couldn't even get a phone call.
Right.
And you think about it, technology is great, but it's also tough because it means that recruiters have thousands of resumes. And so if you have a gap in your service, you know, all of a sudden you're knocked out and you don't even get that shot. When the reality is an unemployed person is actually more likely to stay, higher retention, and be more loyal.
It makes you wonder about just the way that hiring is done in our society today, in the way that if you know somebody, you got a better opportunity. I mean, that's sort of in a way a negative, especially if you're qualified and you can send a resume in. But that's just human nature. I mean, that's how we've all found ourselves in places of opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, companies want to de-risk the hire, right? You want to know that this person is going to do well and you don't want somebody to leave. And so that's part of actually why Skills was set up in 2012 was to actually work with the companies so that we could be an extension of their HR team to actually interview and find those unemployed and underemployed who truly are not, you know, nobody's looking out for them the way we are. And so that's our sandbox. We look at them, we interview them, we essentially give them a you know, we call it a white glove service for the companies where we're interviewing everybody in our office. And so by the time they get to the employer, you know, had it not been for that gap in service, they should have had that interview anyway.
Right.
And we've kind of de-risked that hire for the employer.
Well, I mean, how do you get employers interested in trying to get rid of the access gap? Because I would think that a lot of private sector jobs are like, it's working, it's fine the way it is. I don't need another service to come in and help me find people because my network is pretty solid.
Yeah, you know, the reality is so many companies have right now, there's so much hiring happening. I have a different answer today than I would, you know, 3 years ago. But right now companies are really looking for people. They actually can't find enough people. So an organization like ours that's reaching into the neighborhoods where they don't necessarily have that network or that access themselves, they recognize the benefit of it. They also, you know, recognize that we have very high retention rates. We're actually typically beating the retention rates that the companies have for the same positions because we're finding people who are so loyal
right.
and because we're working so hard to find the right people. So I think, you know, companies actually, they want it. They just need that, you know, that situation de-risked.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, and the network goes in both directions because you'll have the network of the people who don't necessarily have the friends that can get them jobs, but the corporations that you work with, they may not have access to underserved communities minority communities. We're you know, putting those two together actually is what we're seeing, a little bit of what we're seeing with what the city's trying to do with the One Summer Chicago anyway.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, we actually survey our companies and we actually ask them why they use us year over year. We have a very high retention rate of our companies, right? We want them to come back. So it can't just, you know, certainly the mayor has been a huge proponent of us, but we knew we had to deliver quality candidates to be here 5 years later. Right. And so when we survey the companies, we say, why do you use us? They say two reasons. One, because of civic responsibility, that they feel it's really important to do something about this. It helps them. Right. If people are back to work, that means people are buying. If people are buying, that means the economy is better. Right. But two, the other piece of it is they also said that tied for that reason is because we're giving them quality, diverse candidates. Quality, diverse talent. And so, you know, just to your point, because we're able to reach into those neighborhoods and they don't necessarily know how to do that, we're able to present to them talent, which is really reflective of their consumers.
Why do they care about a diverse talent pool?
Because that's their consumers. You know, in many cases, that's who's buying from them. And it's providing a different, you know, diversity and lens and view. And I think that's, you know, that's very well accepted, I think, today, that you want different types of perspectives in the workforce. So, you know, the other piece is they also just need good people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, jobs that are going unfilled are costing companies. So we're able to get people into jobs.
Marie Trupek Lynch is the president and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. We're talking about the unemployment rate, but we're also talking about the access gap and networks. You know, it's interesting because we'll have these conversations and we've had them from time to time here, really stemming from, and I've always find myself going back to the speech that Mayor Emanuel gave, I think it was in the wintertime at Malcolm X College. And he essentially talked about the idea of the corporate side of Chicago, the private sector, stepping up to fill the gaps in which government can't anymore. And then he was talking about societal ills, violence, other things. But it also comes to unemployment and other places. What's the role of the private sector in Chicago and the state of Illinois in widening their network and trying to bring the access gap down?
Yeah, I think big. I think, you know, so a couple of views on this. One, I would say, you know, I do some national work too, and it's been interesting when I brought people here, they've said one of the real unique attributes of Chicago is actually our public-private partnerships that exist, the way the government and the companies come together. And so they've seen that as a real benefit, and I've seen that in our work. I think companies are, you know, we have over 60 companies we work with who have been more than willing to hire. The reality is, though, you have to have something to help those companies to be able to find the talent. So I think their challenge historically had been not the – their issue had been they certainly had a desire to want to do it, but they didn't necessarily have the extension of all the partners to be able to help them do that. You know, there's 70 agencies in Chicago which actually get people job ready. Mm-hmm. We're in that middle as an intermediary to kind of reach into those 70, make it a little bit easier for the companies to find those right talent and then connect them. But, you know, business is there to make money. And so if you don't have something efficient in the middle
right.
to help them figure out the right talent, that's where it gets a little bit tough. And we're
filling that. I was going to say, I mean, just I think about the world we live in now and how much responsibility do corporations in the private sector have when it comes to unemployment. You know, we never think of it that way.
Yeah.
We never think that it's that if you put some of the onus and responsibility on the corporate or the private sector to lower unemployment, that that there might be a different sort of paradigm in the way we look at jobs, work, and how we live here in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I, you know, I mean, I'd say this too. I've seen from our experience, we're actually 50% privately funded. So like JP Morgan Chase, as an example, has funded us, you know, $1.2 million over the last 4 years. We've had so many, you know, companies, Motorola is another one, you know, that have funded us. And they're all contributing because they recognize that it's good for business, but it's also an important civic responsibility to be in the city. You know, and the other piece, you know, you mentioned at the top of this is, you know, the saying of, you know, it takes a job to stop a bullet, right? And we recognize, I think Chicago has recognized the importance that that job is the way out for youth.
You know, as you see the One Summer Chicago 2017, the kickoff, you see the mayor's initiatives, you see not just the mayor, but we Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor in talking about the county's initiatives. There really seems to be a push from our government, from our leaders in government, to say one of the ways that we can take on some of the societal ills, violence included, this summer is by putting this initiative forward. Do you think that this is something that will stick, that will actually help violence in Chicago, and do you see this being something that will continue past this summer?
Yeah, I think there is a overwhelming understanding that jobs are what makes a difference, that you have to have a job. I think, you know, Arne Duncan has done some good research noting that, you know, it's basically $12 an hour is the trigger that allows somebody to kind of flip to actually, you know, makes it worthwhile to come off the street. And so I think there's a really big recognition of this. You know, 42% of who we serve are youth. And I can tell you personally, and you know, in talking to folks who are looking at these jobs, I mean, it does make a difference. So I've talked to the youth as well, and when they have a caring adult supervisor and they can see a career path, man, that beats what they see out there in the street any day of the week.
Talking about jobs, unemployment, the access gap, and networking, Marie Trupek Lynch is the president and CEO for Skills for Chicagoland's Future. Marie, thanks for coming in today and talking a little bit. Appreciate
it. Thanks so much.